And for if God will delay it longer than we asked for it, there are things we have the duty to pray about. Because like I said all the time, I said just now, and I've said several times before, it's not everything God allows you to ask about. For example, when he was going to destroy Jerusalem, he told them simply, look, this city is coming down. And he was telling his disciples. He said, therefore, I'll give you two prayer points. He said, you will have to flee, brethren, you will have to move. You have to move out of Jerusalem. But I'll give you two prayer points. So number one, pray that your flight will not be in winter. And number two, pray that it will not be on a Sabbath day. But don't pray that a day for movement will not come, because it will come. The only people that will avoid that are those who move early. Do you understand my point? Just by the way, if your father is leaving inheritance for you on the shoreline of Nigeria, sell it. Think this flood is going to come to an end? You're joking. Flooding globally, it has just begun. If they reclaim land and say it's your inheritance, collect is very expensive now. People don't know yet that the flooding is not planning to stop. Quickly sell it and move to, come to Enugu, you know it's very high. Before Enugu go flood, Noah has to come back and prophesy. He has to enter an ark and shut the door before Enugu will flood. So, move. That's just by the way. This is just my own analysis of S event. This is just, oh God, I'm talking too many things that are distracting. Global warming is a lie. It is not human beings that are warming the globe, like Bishop qualified, by their natural actions. It's a spiritual cycle. You can't pray it away. It will finish his own tenure and give rise again to global cooling. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest. Global warming and global cooling shall not cease. Is that not the name? Go and read the scripture now. Cold and heat. Is that not what he says?
Yes.
How come are people deceiving me? Somebody analyzed once. Oh, God. Let me quickly sit down. What I'm trying to say. And he said, if you do all the adjustments you're supposed to do so as to, you know, save the ozone layer, do this, prevent global warming. He said, if we did everything scientists say we should do, stop burning hydrocarbon fuels and all of that, the temperature of the globe will drop by 1 degree Fahrenheit over the next 10 years. That tells you simply, we didn't warm it up. Just by the way. All right? So, that it will happen, you have no choice. But you can pray that your flight will not be during winter. Jesus said, you can pray that your flight will not be on the Sabbath day. Therefore, when we are praying in the center of the will of God, especially on global things and national events, don't ever forget to narrow down those prayers in certain areas. There's crisis in the north right now. Let's continue praying. We've said some things in the background, all right? We continue praying for peace. We continue praying for righteousness. But sometimes God delays these things for longer than we would have loved them to be executed. In that process, we narrow down some prayer points. Your brother lives anywhere up over there. Pray first of all for the preservation of his life, his wife, his children, and all that belongs to him. Next, anybody that has showed him kindness. Yes, they deserve a dose. Especially those who recognize his office. Especially if he's a minister. And they showed him kindness because of that. I said, dose of deliverance that God gives to such people. There is. Even though they are not believers. Because this man showed kindness to my servant, leave him. Jump his house. These things don't take people by accident. They don't. If you look at the way the IG of police survived the last bomb blast, it was divinely arranged. They planned it well. They got him. The only thing that happened at the last moment, one traffic warden said, you can't park there. He said, but I'm in the convoy. I don't care. You go and park on the other side. That's the only reason why the IG escaped. And let nobody lie all those lies. Security lapse. There was no security lapse. We are not used to bomb blasts. This is not America. Yes, this is not America. This is not Pakistan. This is not India. We're not used to such things. Why should we be skilled in things that have never happened to us before? There must be precedents before you start worrying about such things. Are you getting my point? But God is still working. That's what I'm just trying to explain. All right? So when we pray, all right? If I doubt there's something that Pastor Chris Okuti said those days, that there's no destruction that takes everybody. And there's always a reason why some people are spared. Are you getting my point? All right? So the will of God, like I said, is not just a nebulous thing. Yes, we need peace in the country. We need prosperity. We pray about those things. But I haven't read through the scriptures. I was trying to point out that there are times that God is executing judgment. Because that's the interesting part. Sometimes we want to confuse God. Thank God he can't be confused. We tell him that, deliver us from this. God says, okay, let me start delivering. He says, that's very serious. So what are you doing? You want to kill everybody? He said, but you asked for deliverance. You think it's free? Go and ask the nation of Israel. When I want to pull them out, what I did to the Egyptians? I didn't pull them out for free. I took the life of all the firstborns in Egypt to release them. What are you talking about? Are you getting my point? All right, so it's very important. It's very, very important. All right? It's very important we understand that. So sometimes we must learn to narrow down prayers. Narrow it down. God said to Jeremiah, in the midst of all of these prayers, what I'm going to give you is your life as a booty. Okay? Abraham was praying for Sodom and Gomorrah, but the prayer didn't enter through and through. God said, no, sorry, oh boy, this thing has to go. These places I have to smoke. So what do we do? I'll select some people for you. You want Lot, you can have him. Anybody that will go with him, you can have. That was the arrangement. So Lot, move. Lot's wife, follow. Lot's daughters, follow. Lot's sons-in-law, follow. But they refused. Lot moved. The daughters followed. The wife went halfway through. Move back. Move forward. Move back. One danger just blew on her. She turned to her. She said that the other people can move. Because as long as she's dragging like that, she will soon kill everybody. So one angel did her a favor. Did everybody else a favor? John the woman. I remember one funny film I watched long ago. One comedy. Lot was running. One guy who was pretending to be Lot. He was moving. They called his wife. She didn't answer. And because he was not supposed to look back, he moved back like this. Back like that, finally found something. Moved around the thing. I saw that his wife had turned the pillar of salt and carried the pillar of salt and ran home. And the next day they showed him and his brother talking. And they were discussing what happened. And the brother was eating a bowl of soup. They went to the pillar of salt, scraped some salt into the soup. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. All right, so Abraham prayed for Lot and everybody that will follow Lot. And when those, of course, everyone that followed Lot was delivered. Are you getting my point? Like I said, some of our brethren are very zealous. Zealous because, not because they're bad people, but because they have visions of things that maybe you and I don't have visions concerning. And we have to respect that. We have to respect that. We have to respect that, all right? And for that reason, we pray for them. We pray for them so that in the midst of their troubles, God will still keep them, all right? So that they will still be alive and well by the time the tide, all right, of judgment finally passes over. You are getting the point I'm making. It's very important. It's very important. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let me just introduce this and we'll continue next time. The next point we want to make. So it says, give us, verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. And that's the next point I want to make. Now, like I said before, that you see, the words of Jesus, they are loaded. You understand what I mean? In one sentence he makes, there are so many things that are implicit inside it. Many of those things you will see here and there, but most of them you will not even see recorded because there's not so much space for all the things that he said. So when he makes statements like this, give us this day our daily bread, there are so many things hidden inside that principle. We'll develop it next step. Some scriptures read it like this. Some translations say, give us our bread for the morrow. But whichever way you look at it, the petition for bread is just for one day. Are you getting my point? It's just for what? One day. Now, if you go down, you see something he said in that same area. Just down to around verse, I believe a lot of those things are just amplifying the things he said earlier. Verse 25. Because you cannot serve two masters, 25 says, for this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is life not more than food and all of that? It now says, Verse 28, and why are you anxious about clothing? Observe the lilies of the field. No, sorry, 26. Why are you anxious about food? Observe the birds. And then 28, observe the lilies. Did not even dress as well as Solomon. He now said in verse 31, so do not be anxious, verse 31, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Please notice verse 34. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Please notice that verse 34. I believe that one is tied, the whole thing is tied to what we are reading. When we are praying, he said, give us this day our daily bread. Now, like I said, there are so many things inside those statements. It's not just about the matter of prayer alone. So what is inside it? One of the things inside it that we should pray, please bear in mind, is the issue that God does not want us to be anxious about tomorrow. And even to make tomorrow, remember tomorrow, not literal 24 hours tomorrow, that's the future, or even to make it a prayer point and dwell upon it. Sometimes, you see, we must understand the laws that guide prayer. A lot of prayers people pray, I've said it before, they are not prayers of faith, they are prayers of worry. Are you getting my point? They are prayers of worry, they are not prayers of faith. God does not, listen to me, expect Christians to dwell in prayer upon their own personal things. Sit down, day in and day out, the man is praying about a car he doesn't have. Day in and day out, he's praying about the house, listen, that he does not need. He has one he's living in. Are you getting my point? And he's sowing a dangerous seed towards a house he does not need at all now, just because he too should have a house. Let me tell you about the work of Christianity. I like one thing Rabbi Zacharias said. He was quoting somebody. That the problem with Christianity is not that... what was he trying to say? I remember the second part. The first part, I can't remember for sure. Anyway, this is summary. He said that the walk of faith has not been tested. It's not that people walked in it and found it wanting. But they have not had the confidence to at least try it. You know what I'm going to say? I think most of us are still too afraid of tomorrow. If we were not, life would be much different for us today. I'm going somewhere. He said, give us this day our daily bread. One thing I have come to understand is life is in compartments. And in anything you are doing, there are seasons. And the only prayer points God allows you is for that season. I don't know what I heard I said. It is forbidden for a student to pray about jobs. You are a third year student. With all the miracles God wants to work in your life, you can't graduate this year. Sow a seed towards your future. And you agree. And then financial seed, you know what I'm saying? This is our Christian, modern day Pentecostal clowning that we do. All right? You're a third year student. You know what God says? Sow a seed towards the next exam. Now, I'm not saying you should sow a seed. I'm giving you an illustration. You are getting my point. All right? You are in a season. That season is called student days. Don't weaken the power of your prayer and give yourself, and don't annoy God in heaven with prayer points that are not currently within your scope. Do you get the point I'm making? If you're a student, life has seasons, like I said. Currently, you're a student. That is the season you are in. All your prayer points for yourself had better be centered around that day. Give us this day the bread that is fitting for that season. You know, many people learned Kenneth Hagin's methods. I never prayed a prayer for money, and the money was short by $1. The Lord taught him some principles once. And once he applied them, If he needed $150, he will do this, do that, and call $150 and tell the angels to bring them, the dollars. And by the end of that week, he will check and he will find that he got $151, $152, $157, all right? Yearly around that. In fact, the principle was so strong that there was a time he went to preach somewhere and he claimed a particular amount of money for that meeting. And at the end of the day, they handed him the offering they were giving him. It was short by $20. So he counted it. Let's assume it was supposed to be $200 and it was $180. It was $181 or $182. He counted the money. It was one. So he told the pastor, you count this half, I'll count this half. He counted. That one counted. It totaled $182. He switched the money around. You're not counting right or I'm not counting right. He was so sure. He kept on counting. He told the guy, we ain't leaving here until we count this money complete. That this is the agreement the Lord and I has. This money must be complete. I asked for $200. $200 is going to be complete. So they share the money again. This one will count. That one will count. They add it again. $181, $182. He kept on checking on. We'll go recount. After I was suddenly, he remembered. Earlier in the day, somebody had given him a $20 note. And he kept it, I think, inside his purse. And he forgot. So when he remembered, they just added the $20 to the $180. It became $200 and something. And the money was complete. That's how powerful the principle was. So young boys began. That's where I'm going. Hallelujah. In this my service here, I received a Lamborghini Countach. And they began. And I asked a simple question. Why didn't you ask the brother whether they were not selling Rolls Royces that time? And why did he not believe God for a Rolls Royce? Why was it that it was $120? $200? Christmas time, you had another $100 on top for his family to buy presents. I said, why didn't you ask him, sir, was Mercedes-Benz not making cars those days? Why didn't you believe God for one? Or believe God for a Cadillac? Why didn't you believe God for money to buy a Cadillac? That was a big man's stuff in the U.S. of those days. Why did you sit with $150? I'll give you a short answer. Because Abraham refused to go below 10 people. You say, what's the short about that answer? Because according to Oswald Chambers, there's a restraining power of the spirit. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And if the man had gone beyond the day, the Lord would have said, sorry, I didn't give you that principle for tomorrow. I gave it to you for today. And the young used copper, does he want to drive from Meduguri with a Lamborghini? Why is he asking me for a Lamborghini? Is it because I can't give Lamborghinis, that's why I won't give him? I can give Lamborghinis, except that there is nothing in his today that smells like a Lamborghini. You get what I'm saying? So young people sat down. No, I have told God. And what they say is that, Ken Hagin told God and I overheard it. That's what they are saying. So they start believing God for crazy things. One of the reasons why they don't get anything is because they break this simple principle. That when you are praying, he says, pray like this. Give us what? This day. Give us this day our daily bread. That is, we want bread for 24 hours. One bread to last one season. You are getting my point? I've heard people tell me, the reason why we want to do this, you know, your children, your future, as they are talking, I know they are convincing themselves, not me. I don't believe a word of it. I've said it a lot of times. One of the greatest things you can do for yourself, apart from just telling yourself the truth, is to just learn to relax in God's hands. You cannot plot your tomorrow as efficiently as you can. You hear what I said? You can't. You cannot plot your tomorrow as efficiently as God can. Like I said last time, There are people that if God showed you too many visions, you will pray them out of your life. Okay, it wasn't here I was saying it. Sorry, I was teaching some people. It was I traveled over the weekend. I went to Benin. So this was during the night on Friday. I was talking with some guys. We were just chatting the word of God. So one of the reasons why God doesn't show you many things is because if you see too many things, you will pray, you are Jesus Christ, you will pray Judas out of your ministry. That way you can't go to the cross. You can't die for it. Why were you born? So God won't show you the character of Judas at the beginning. He will have been in the ministry first before he starts suspecting. Say, John, how much is that money? Say 600 denarii. Count it again, 600. I saw that offering, it was 1,000. Who counted it? It was Judas. And Judas, like somebody pointed out to us, was a very nice guy, you know that. Yeah, he was a nice guy. You want me to prove it to you? Should I prove it to you? You want me to prove it to you? You want to hear a story? And then just by the way, I can prove it to you. When they say, one of you will betray me. Nobody suspected him. They were saying, Peter said, is it me? That is, the guy was as nice, at least, as Peter was. If the guy was a crook in the family, somebody will betray you. All eyes will just go. He said, brother, you just confess. How much? But nobody suspected him. The guy was just there. John, can you believe it? Somebody will betray the Lord. John, is it you? John said, I got you, that's not you. No, I don't know. You have any idea? Nobody knew he was the one. No, what am I saying? Salvation under the day is what? The evil thereof. Now, the point I'm just making here is this, okay? We have to learn to limit our personal prayers to the matters of this season. You're working somewhere, as an example. You're planning to start your own business. That's for another season. Do you follow? For now, your prayer points should be for the prosperity of your office, the employer. Settle down there. Then when the season comes on, you are plotting to move. Then you can start asking for wisdom for, you know, this day for the next season is coming up. All right? But we are in one season. For now, it has not come to an end. Come on, focus on it. Pour your energy into it. You get my point? How will Laban prosper that now that I, Jacob, am with him? That's what you pour your energy into. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Like I said, that's why Kenneth Hagin did not, I believe. This is my assessment. That's why he didn't cross his... He never gave us an explanation. I'm the one looking at it like this. He didn't cross his mind to ask the Lord for $2,000. There were $2,000 those days. There were people earning that. But he just asked for $150, $100, $200. And he was giving testimonies about how powerful that principle was. How the Lord always used to meet it. How he never failed one time. Not once. The only day he tried to fail is the story I just told you. But he didn't know that the Lord had given him $20 before the offering came. Because his prayers were limited. What he used to do is he used to ask his wife, so how much money do we need? And the woman would calculate. They had two children. They had to pay something on the car, pay this, buy that. At the end of the day, rough estimate. Okay, it's okay. I'll ask the Lord for $150. That's it. He didn't say, his wife just come and say, last time I went to church, the head deacon, the wife took their children to Disneyland in Europe. The total, the airfare for two children and me, and all the going to Disney and all of that, was like $1,500. Better ask the Lord for it too. The man will add it to the normal 200, it becomes 1,700. And they will claim the money, and the money will come, and it will be complete. $202. Why? Because the season for going to Europe with your children has not come. I don't know if it is. I tell my wife someone we were discussing. Talk it. I say anything that comes with struggle is not in the season. Olayinka, you were asking me that which message did you preach on Omega Channel that people wanted to call you tired that day? I found out it was the one in which we explained that life had seasons. The day that thing aired on Omega Channel. Hey, phone call, text message. Everybody was like, yeah, Pastor Frankie, God bless you. Oh, men don't struggle, tire. And with the word of God, I brought comfort to their souls. We won disciples that day. I'm telling you, if there's a Sea of Galilee with a preacher, they will know something happened. Next day, we'll call people like this. The whole place go full. But it was the truth. It was the truth. Because we need to understand it. Some of the prayers is because they are totally out of season. When my wife and I discussing, this would have been nice, I said, fine. And my wife said, you know, you promised these children. I said, don't worry. By the time I put the promise later, they will forget the times. Yes? It's only God that just promised and doesn't fail. The day I promise I never fail, I have become God. And I'm very proud to announce to you, I haven't achieved that one yet. It's desire. That's why it's called desire. Yeah, desire positive. Thank you. Say desire. But the day will still come. There are things that are out of season. Are you getting my point? Yes. I say proudly all the time. I left school in 1991, graduated from the University of Benin, with an MBBS in 1991. The first car I drove that I could call my own, I got January 2000. And it was a gift. I didn't even have money to buy it. January 2000. This is 2011. Should I start counting the number of cars I have driven since? And none was a gift. I bought every single one of them and paid complete fair market price. If I start counting, it's plenty. And that's the one I drove. The one I paid for fully and drove it and gave somebody the key. I did add that one. You are getting my point? People say, how? I say it's season. It is season. I used to trek with pride. And I was a single man then. I come and visit a single woman. I come with a smile on my face. How far? I do come. The bike will carry me was air conditioned. Just come on, just now. It's a bike. But it's a matter of season. Are you getting my point? Yes. If we learn to recognize seasons, you will discover there's no prayer you pray that God does not answer. There's no prayer you pray that God does not answer. Don't dilute the power of your prayers by praying for things that are outside your season. Focus it on things within the season. You are building a small business. You need ideas. You need customers. You get my point? Focus on that. Don't focus on political appointment. You get my point? We'll develop it further next time. Let us pray. Let us give the Lord thanks. Just say, Father, we give you thanks for the power of your word. Thank you for being merciful to us once again today. Let us pray a prayer for this country. Like we said, we have a number of crises actually, but I believe good things are happening. If you believe that, say amen. There's a pattern that public prayer is supposed to be in Christianity. I've studied and I've thought about it, and I think I'm persuaded about it. Public prayer is supposed to have a particular format. How many of you have ever been to a Catholic church? How many of you were actively going to a Catholic church for at least 6 months? Or you are still going? If you've ever been to... And I think Anglicans have it too. What they call a responsorial psalm. Alright? And then the prayer of the faithful. Right? Check those two things. I believe those are the classic, biblical, correct examples of what public prayer is supposed to be. Pentecostal one is the totally wrong one. But the way it is actually is that if you go and see Psalm 136, it will tell you, praise the Lord for he is good, and then the congregation will answer, and his mercies endures forever. And then the person leading will make the next statement, and his mercies endures forever. That's where it's supposed to be. Go and read Psalm 136, you see the pattern in there. And I think we should really do it because it helps prayer make more sense, becomes more interesting, and everybody knows exactly what is going on. Are you getting my point? All right, let's just pray for the country. I don't know how we can strike that, but I'll lead the prayer, and then let's just say amen will be appropriate at this point. Father, we thank you for Nigeria is a creation of your purpose and of your destiny, and we will manifest that destiny in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There are two crises we have. I just want to pray about them. Currently, we have a crisis with bomb blast, Boko Haram, here and there. Lord, according to your word, that you surround the righteous with favor as with a shield, that as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so that the Lord surround his people. Lord, in this whole nation, we ask that you protect your people and deliver them from death in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We particularly pray for Borno State. First of all, Lord, we pray for everyone who went there on a mission. Anyone who names the name of Jesus Christ and is a minister of his gospel, Lord, deliver him, her, their spouses, their families from death in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, if a bomb goes off at their feet, it will not harm them in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let the one who will plant a bomb against them be destroyed by it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We ask for your mercy for those who have shown them favor because of their office, that you will deliver such people also in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, when they plant a bomb in a church, Lord, even if the church sinned, Lord, we refuse that pattern of judgment. Find another one. Lord, find another one. It doesn't make me happy. Lord, find another one. Let a rainstorm break the church down if they sinned. Let breeze, hurricane come and remove the roof. I prefer that. But let no church that names the name of Jesus Christ be a victim of the bomb blast of Boko Haram in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, deliver all your people in those lands, Father God, from trouble in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And not only from there, like my friend, a friend of mine, Pastor Koroji was here the other time. You know, he's in Sokoto. He's one of those people I told you, he's not going anywhere. You saw that man? You saw him? He's none of those people. So please pray for him. Lord, we pray for Pastor Courage, his wife Bibi, and all their children. And according to your word, no evil will befall him. No evil will befall that family.
Amen.
No plague will come near their dwelling.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you must ever quit, drag them away by the power of your angels like you did Lot in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But Lord, in everything, they will not be destroyed.
Amen.
They will not be injured.
Amen.
Their work will be preserved.
Amen.
Those who imbibe the word that he preached, and men of like passion that we do not even know, let everywhere those words entered, let those people, Lord, be protected and delivered in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, bring this judgment to an end quickly. You understand what I'm praying? Lord, bring it to an end quickly. Let peace reign in our land.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
According to the word of the Psalms, he said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The Bible says that they gather themselves against the Lord and against his anointed. Lord, according to that psalm, he said, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord will hold them in disarray, in derision. He will cause confusion to come upon their souls, according to that word. And the word that you give to your servant, Duncan Williams, which I quoted earlier, that he said, there are things that are standing against the progress of the gospel of this earth. Lord, according to those two words, God, in which it is impossible that you will lie, we say every religion, every human being, every institution that stands against the spread and the knowledge of Christ Jesus, that stands and calls the Lord Jesus an evil name, that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone that is angry with him, according to your word, we say, destroy in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Remove those institutions, Lord, from this country in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And remove them from the surface of this earth in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus indeed shall reign.
Amen.
And he will reign forevermore.
Amen.
Lord, let him reign in our hearts. Let him reign in this nation. And let him reign on this earth in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We pray for there's a financial crisis in Nigeria. And I believe that God is solving it. Yes, he's solving it. There's no reason why dollars should be climbing against the Naira. When, as at now, internationally, people are afraid. I mean, they're about to downgrade the credit rating of the United States as a country. There's no reason on earth why Naira should still be falling against that dollar. I think it's just a crisis. And Lord, we ask that you bring that to an end in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In the midst of all troubles, no one that seeks you will lack anything good in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The first and foremost prayer, yes, I think I should revise that. The first and foremost prayer is that, Lord, our hearts will be steadfast in you as your people in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That we will understand that only you are the supplier. We're not afraid. If dollar climbs to 1,000 naira to the dollar, we are not afraid. All we are asking for is stability and prosperity in our nation in this season, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we give you thanks. Let's just give him thanks. Say, Father, we thank you because you are forever good. You are forever kind. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.